How are you at giving directions? What's worse is how are you listening to directions? And has direction giving changed? With our modern age of technology, we no longer refer to landmarks that used to be there but aren't there, but people who are locals know that's what you're talking about. Well, there's another way that we have also stopped talking. And that's what we learned in the days of Gideon. There was a direction that people were supposed to focus. In Hebrews, it talks about keep your eyes on Jesus, the author and the perfecter of our faith. Our life directions has changed, just like the way we give directions, the way we talk directions, the way we use GPS and Google Maps and satellite views and everything else. It has changed. The world is telling you what you used to look at isn't there. That there's a new way, there's a new map, there's a new directions. I remember when I got my first TomTom. I don't know if you know what that is. It's a really about a 2.5-inch little thing. It had a map on it. And Gwen and I were on the road, and we're driving according to that little screen in the middle of nothing. There's no road in front of us. There's no route number in front of us. We are driving in nothing. Because, see, this road was rebuilt, and it was rebuilt over that way. And if I looked in the distance, had to be careful driving doing that, but you could see that there was a road over there. But Gwen and I, we're not on a road. The Bible tells us about a road, a path. And it tells us the way of salvation is Christ. It doesn't tell us it's over there. And it tells us there's no new route. So here's what changed. In the days of Gideon, now, just to put the proper perspective, you had the days of Moses, right? And Moses had a quarrelsome people to deal with. I think these were the early versions of Lutherans. Hard-headed, stubborn, opinionated. When he was up talking to God, you remember what they were doing at the bottom of the mountain? They decided to make a golden calf. Yeah. And so here they were. Well, Moses had a person job shadowing. His name wasn't Pastor Al, but it was, do you remember? Joshua. And Joshua was given the mantle by Moses, and then he led the people. And again, God acted in history, and the people didn't change. They were still quarrelsome and bickering and nitpicking. And how come God didn't do this? And why is God doing that? And on it went. And yet, God led the people into victory. But when they were complaining so much, God let them suffer a little bit. So now you get through a couple of judges, they were called. They weren't like court magistrates, but they were leaders of God's people. And Gideon now comes onto the scene, and God raises him up. And the lesson that you heard is when God calls Gideon at this oak tree to be his servant. Now, Gideon had heard the narratives. We're not sure why or how or from who. But he had heard the stories about Moses and the 10 plagues and getting out of Egypt. He had heard all that kind of stuff. And there's a psalm that's in the Old Testament, Psalm 78, that recounts the marvelous works, the actions of God on behalf of his people. And Gideon knew some of that. And so when the angel of the Lord, which means this is Jesus, before he became true God, true man in the flesh. Okay? This is Jesus is talking to Gideon, and he says, I want you. And what does Gideon do? He says, well, you know, why the change? And you can see it in it's not in your bulletin, but you can read it in the scriptures when he talks about how the history of God and amongst them has changed. And so he asked God for a sign. When do people ask God for a sign? I think just the times I've done it is I ask him for a sign so I don't have to do what he wants, because I know he ain't giving me one. You know, I don't know if you've ever tried to bargain with God. It's a silly thing to do, I can tell you. It's a weakness of the flesh. I have that too. You try to bargain with God and you say, God, if you do this, I'll do that. And when you ask God for a sign, but you know God cannot be tested, God cannot be tempted, God cannot be tricked, you know you aren't going to get a sign, you can figure out you're safe, because God ain't going to give you a sign. And our human thinking is, we don't have to do what you want. But Gideon, at the same time, is asking for a sign because God had done things so many times in history that he knew God was real. And he knew that God could and does act. And he wanted to see God act again, because it tells us in the narrative of chapter 6, he's a little weak-kneed. He's nervous. And he describes himself not only as my clan the least important, but in the clan, in the pecking order of the family, I'm not that great, you know? So he's, his self-image is kind of low. And so here at an oak tree, a strong oak tree, Gideon learns that strength is from the Creator. It's not from man. It's not from our ancestry. You know, even though you can go to ancestry.com and find out where'd you come from, it's not that. Because God sees him differently than he sees himself. Because God sees him strong by the power of God, strong by the maker, creator, strong with mission and purpose. God sees him as he will be, in the sense that he'll be fortified and energized as he needs, as God needs him to be. Gideon isn't the first guy to ask for a sign. He won't be the last. But what we begin to behold is how God raises us up, and through the word, he encourages us to recount the narratives, to tell the story and again, so we would stop doubting God. So that when, as he equips us through word and sacrament, as he equips us by the power of the Holy Spirit, as he calls us to be his very own, we know that we're equipped to accomplish whatever his heart desires. That in the sense of that oak tree, we're not a pushover. In the sense of the oak tree, we're established and planted by God with deep roots. In the sense of the oak tree, we flourish. And we're fed, that is nourished. First word, sounds like two. No. We're nourished by God. As we take a look in this journey of Lent, we see trees around us. And if you went to Nashville and Hermitage and Cookville and in history, you've seen trees blown down by straight line winds or tornado, you know, E4s or less even. So what happens is that we recognize the voice of God says you don't have to be like the reed in the wind, shaken and blown every which way. You don't have to be like the boat in the waters, tossed by the waves and all of that. But instead, we get to be focused because God has called us to focus on Him. God has called us to be strengthened by Him. God has called us to be led by Him. God has called us to be empowered by Him. It doesn't make us superior to anybody else. It just means that when we serve the Lord in the way that He wants us to serve Him, the success is God's. So later on in history, just down the road here, Gideon is tested again. And it's the enemy of God's people. And he's thinking about a mighty army. We need numbers. And God says, you got too many. And he brings it down to a smaller group. And it reminds us that by bringing it down to a smaller group, we remember and we recall and we know that the success is of God. It's not of ourselves. It's not of Him. It's not in their warriors. It's not in their brute strength. It's not in the armor. It's not in their strategy. The success is God's. So this is the trees of Lent. And it leads us to another tree, the cross. And you remember when they wanted to arrest Jesus in the garden, they couldn't take Him. You know, are you Jesus of Nazareth? And He says, I am. And when He answered the first time, everybody falls down. And then they say again, are you Jesus of Nazareth? He says, I am. And then nothing happens. He's showing you, you can't take me. I give myself. In John 10, the good shepherd lays down his life for his sheep. This is not man's plan to accomplish the death of somebody from Nazareth. This is God's plan. This is not just a death. It is the Son of God's death. No other one can accomplish this price for sin, sin of the world. This is God's plan. That once and for all, the one on the cross of Calvary would satisfy God's wrath and anger and justice forever. His righteous anger, that is. And in Him, we have forgiveness. And by His resurrection, we have life. The trees of Lent in our journey about those stopping points in a long trip. And it reminds you of the message about not only did God create the world and all that we have, but God also planted you and I to be the oak. To be like Gideon, not big-headed, but to have a full heart with Christ our Lord. Amen.